Amen. So we were looking at the book of Acts, and the reason we're doing the book of Acts is to understand how we are supposed to be, because we want to be in that congregation, of that congregation that was built by one person alone, and that is our sovereign Messiah, the anointed Savior, Yahushua. We want to be in his hands. We want to be in his Father's hands. We don't want to be something that was built like the synagogue that our brother read to us about, the freedmen or the libertines. We don't want to be that. We want to be the true congregation, not by any works of our own, but by our surrender, our repentance, our faith, so that our Elohim, through his Son, Yeshua, and his anointed spirit can take us for his own. We cannot make ourselves the congregation of Elohim. We can't build one. Anyone who says, I'm going to build something or start something, they're deceiving themselves, and those who follow them will be deceived. But if we understand that we love Elohim, we love his Son, and we love each other, and are gathering together in his name, and are praying for each other in his name, for our salvation, we understand that we're running a race together. We are not running against each other. So it doesn't matter how many joins us. We want all, as many as possible, to join us, because we're running a race together. Life is passing by, not the way the world see it, but the life in this grace, this time extended to us of Elohim's mercy of grace, and is extended to us. So let's hop on in his life, in his way. Let's get on his way, and let's hope, and let's do all we can to draw as many to go in his way, to stand, to go in his way, to walk in his way, to be his congregation, not by the will or the works of our own, but by the Spirit. Amen. So we're going to continue with the book of Revelations today. We did chapter 6, verses 11 to 17, and then we started off Revelations chapter 7, verses 1. And, you know, I was hesitant in covering the 144,000, as I wanted to do all I can to get you information about what the earliest believers believed about the 144,000. There are so many ideas out there, and a lot of these ideas are just that, ideas. So let's look at the last part of chapter 6. Chapter 7, 16 says, verse 15 says, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freeman, hid themselves in the dens, in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to abide? And so we saw all these things from as the Lamb began to open the seven seals. And seals 1 through 4 was the revelation, the showing of the of four horsemen. And the fifth seal, we saw what happened with the saints that had been slain, and they had to wait. They received their white robes and had to wait. But here, also in the fifth seal, I'm sorry, in the sixth seal, we see that it's a revelation of end times, to the very end. It jumps all the way to the end times. So the first four seals shows us, in general, things that happen on planet Earth through governments. Elohim's government first. The truth always comes first. So the true government comes first, does its work, and then the rebellion, those who will resist, come after. And the troubles, the wars, the lack of peace, the suffering and famine that comes on, and death that comes on. It's a cycle of these events throughout all the generations of mankind, where Elohim's truth comes first, spreads, then the wicked comes to try to take away what Elohim did, and those who are not faithful fall, and those who are faithful stand firm until the end, generation after generation, until he returns. So then Seal 6 shows us what's going to happen in the very end. That's what Seal 6 says, shows us that the great day of his wrath has come that will affect all people, not just Jerusalem, not just the Israel, as happened in that day of tribulation when the second temple was destroyed, but this is the end of all worldly governments that it's summarized here in Seal 6. So in chapter 7, it says, "And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw an angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living power, the sing of the living Elohim. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our Elohim in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun, verse 8, 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. And of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. We stop here and let's go back a little bit. So we saw in chapter 6 how the sixth seal, which was open, showed what was going to happen at the very end. Because we know this. It says that the mountains and rocks fallen, so the great day of their wrath hath come. We saw in verse 14, the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every island, every mountain and island were moved out of their places. This hasn't happened yet. So that's why we know this level of disaster is the end time, is the very end time disaster. But then it says, after these things, in verse 1 of chapter 7, after these things, I saw the four horsemen, and after he saw the judgment to come through the sixth seal. And this is still within the sixth seal. He also sees, he saw. So now, is this happening? Is this something that's going to happen after the judgment, after the great day? We will see. So these 12 tribes of Israel were sealed. So when is this? He saw this after he saw the judgment of the great day of his wrath. He saw the angels holding back the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Then he saw another angel tell him, wait, don't do anything, don't hurt anything until we've sealed the servants of our Elohim. Where? On their foreheads. Notice, it doesn't say their hands or any other place, specifically their foreheads. We know in the New Covenant, it doesn't say, I will write it on their hands. In the Old Covenant, it says, the Torah shall be frontlets between your eyes and on your hands. But here, he mentions on their foreheads. And we know what the covenant says concerning this. The New Covenant, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 29, referring to the, while the Old Covenant was set, the Spirit caused the writer to write Elohim's thoughts. And says, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Then they need a seal. What is a seal then? Well, the word seal here, pronounced fragidzo, it means to stamp with a signet or private mark for security or preservation. Keep secret or seal up, okay? So that's the definition of the word used for this seal. And Jeremiah says, Behold, the days are coming, says the Eternal. Well, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, a caretaker to them, says the Eternal. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Eternal. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Eternal. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Eternal. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. So that's what the prophet Jeremiah says. And so here the angel said, no, wait, we have to seal his servants and the 12 tribes. But notice something about the tribes. I don't know if you've noticed, there are two of the original tribes missing. Not listed here. Dan and Ephraim are not listed here. When you look at Dan and Ephraim, the idolatry they were caught in, the great sins they were caught in, and they're not listed here. So you see how the new covenant has different things, but it's the same. Elohim is faithful. As I mentioned before, whoever does not do his will, he'll cut off. No one can stand in his sight. If you don't do his will, he will cut you off. We see that all throughout the generations, throughout the scriptures, where he says, whoever does not this, I will cut him off. He's serious about it. It's not just Judas in the New Testament. Remember, he chose the 12. He said, have I not chose you, and one of you is a devil? And Judas got cut off. But he was chosen by the Messiah himself. But he got cut off. He wasn't a part of that at all. And he was replaced. And that's what's going on here. Dan and Ephraim were replaced. They're not there. Does that mean every single person who's of the descendant of Dan? No, they're all mixed up. They no longer have their private name. They're all caught up. Whoever among them were righteous are now part of another of the tribes. That's what's going on. Okay, so they were cut off because of their great sins, their idolatry. So they're not listed there. It's interesting to notice. Now, so who are these 12, excluding Dan and Ephraim? Dan and Ephraim are now scattered throughout the tribes. They're absorbed in the tribes. It's not a new thing. We've seen it happen with Noah's sons, right? Shem, Ham, and Japhet, right? Was it Ham that committed a sin? And so Ham would become servant to Shem, and Japheth would dwell in the tents of Shem. So they were all, by Elohim's mercy, in Shem. So likewise, this is what's going on to Dan. They've lost their place. So that's the who. Who are the 144,000? Okay, there are all sorts of ideas out there that are outside of the scriptures, that are not in the scriptures. But the scriptures tell us they are Israelites. 144,000. Does that mean only 140? And now some struggle because it's a definitive number. It's a definite set number. Does that mean that there's only going to be only 144,000 Israelites saved? No. These are his servants. Okay. There were many Israelites during the Old Covenant period, but there were few servants, chosen servants. The prophets were the servants of Elohim. Saul was a king, but who was Elohim's servant? David was. But there were many Israelites under the grace and mercy of Elohim on account of these servants. How many times did the Israelites sin and during Moses' time, and Moses, his servant, intervene and prayed for them? How many times at least once Elohim says, stand back, I'm going to remove these people and I will create a new people through you, Moses? And Moses said, no, dear Lord, you know the account. So Elohim is the one who establishes who is Israel. As I said last Sabbath, it's not a matter of just a bloodline. Yes, we are human. Let me clarify, not humans, we're persons, and so our existence is in this flesh, but it's Elohim who declares who Israel is. Jacob, again, never heard the word Israel. It is Elohim who decided, you know what? You're going to be Israel. You're going to be the prince who walks with me. So that's who Israel is. And so this 144,000 just doesn't mean it's only going to be 144,000 Israelites saved. No, it's only 144,000 Israelites that are specifically his servants at us from a specific time. I don't know. I'm not going to venture to tell you when did this count begin. I won't do that. But we can see from the scripture, it's a definitive number and they're Israelite. And Claire, and again, they are these specific servants. Just like there were many in the new covenant when Yeshua selected the 12, there were many others. But how many apostles did he want for Israel? He wanted only 12, no more. Only 12. Did that mean there were only 12 Israelites in the new covenant? No. These were his special servants that he chose for a purpose. So this 144,000 is the definitive number that Elohim chooses. He doesn't want less or more. Just like he did not want less or more apostles, he did not want less or more than 12 Israelite tribes. So these are definitive numbers. Some say, oh no, this is a symbol. No, it's not a symbolic number. It's a literal number of servants that Elohim himself has chosen. He wants 12. Just as he chooses 12 months. He has chosen 144,000 Israelite servants. There are many more Israelites who will be saved. Again, but these are his chosen vessels. And after this, we read in chapter 9, we see a great multitude, which no man could number from only Israel. No, it says a great multitude from all nations. It means that. From all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms of their hand in their hands. So this is everybody. This here is everybody. It includes the 144,000 servants. Remember there, this picture here in verse 9 are showing them before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. They've received their new bodies, their new life, their purified souls, and palms in their hands. As we read earlier with the souls of them that were crying out, how long will you not avenge us? And they said, they were given white robes, but must rest a little while until all who would be killed as they were. So here we see them, the entire multitude of all nations. These are not my words. This is the scriptures. So you cannot exclude the 144,000. The 144,000 here in verse 1 through 8 is showing them being what? Selected. They are being sealed. They were not yet in of themselves selected. They are being sealed to do a work for him for throughout whatever amount of time Elohim chooses. But verse 9 shows us an entire multitude, not just of Israelites, but of all peoples. And unlike a specific number, it says a number which no man could number. Instead of being of a specific tribe, from all nations, kindreds, and people, there is no excluding anyone from there. But what's their characteristics? They have their white robe. They have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Verse 10, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our Elohim, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Again, the throne and the Lamb, which were seen in chapter 5. The throne seen in chapter 4, the throne and the Lamb seen in chapter 5. Salvation to our Elohim, which sitteth upon the throne. Not a throne, the throne, the throne that was seen before. And unto the Lamb, which Lamb? The Lamb that appeared slain with the seven eyes and seven horns and so on. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped Elohim, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our Elohim forever and ever. We stop here at verse 12 and we will continue next Sabbath because of time with this portion of the scripture. Thank you for listening.